Hello and welcome to our sixth podcast of Buy the Ticket with me, Lewis Fraser, and Barney Horner.
Hello. There's a little interesting factoid to start off this one,
I thought. Go for it.
There are, according to the Baby Name Wizard blog, 146 American girls called Khaleesi after the Game of Thrones character. Interesting they call Khaleesi, which is actually her title.
Rather than her name.
Her name is really Daenerys. It's just really interesting.
Well, for all those like me who are not interested by that at all, fuck you, Barney.
gonna get explicit on that one.
It's an explicit podcast, Barney. Brings in the hard listeners.
You know what that means? That means for the rest of this podcast, we can go Malcolm Tucker.
Yeah, I guess we could. But, I mean, all of our guests...
I don't think we should.
No. I think it might... Well, I don't think I'm capable, really. I'd like to think I am, but... You'd need some practice. Oh. I've not got enough practice. But...
Just drank a load of tea leaves. Sorry.
Well played.
Episode 6, we are going to be discussing the film Behind the Candelabra, which is Steve Soderbergh, isn't it?
Yep, Steven Soderbergh and the HBO production. Funnily enough, it was because Soderbergh obviously is a big director. He's done several big movies.
Yeah, at least lots of George Clooney partnerships.
Yeah, and he got Michael Douglas and Matt Damon together with this storyline.
Big names.
And he went to the production companies in America and said, "Okay, I want to make this movie." And that he got rejected by all of them because they were under the impression that America is not ready for a... movie that's got set.
It was too gay.
Too gay, basically. Yeah, that's the best way to say it. Apparently it was too gay, according to American production companies.
It's quite funny.
Yeah, and it is a gay movie, but it's not... You don't have to be gay to watch it in any way, shape or form. It's a very good movie. But we should give some background first. So, this is...
I'll just expand on the idea of production companies not giving their money. Before Midnight, the... Richard Linklater film that's out now.
In the UK, and it's June 25th today, 2013, just for reference.
That also could not get film production companies. That was privately funded. Unlike the first two, Before Sunrise and Before Sunset, which were... the second was funded by Warner, the first one was funded by them. But it just shows that these big companies are increasingly sort of banking on the big blockbuster.
Yeah, I think you had the whole story recently, which was Spielberg and Mr. Star Wars himself. George Lucas.
How can you forget George Lucas?
I didn't forget him. I was just...
Misremembering,
yeah. Well, they came out in today's whole speech and news article about how cinema is sort of changing and how it's almost dying in a way that small independent movies now will be a different price and different price range to these big blockbuster 3D movies. So you'll pay £20 to see Iron Man 4, but then £5 to see the next independent Linklater movie.
I look forward to that.
But in a way, it means you're also getting less funding and less money going towards... these films, and they could eventually be, veered out in favour of these big sort of spectacle movies.
It's really strange, actually, because they pump a lot of money into superhero films for the last probably 10 years or so, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they're pretty much guaranteed to make the money back.
Yeah, definitely. Every time they do.
And yet, they're not willing to take a risk on an independent film which can actually make them more money than they put in. I mean, The King's Speech, that cost £15 million or dollars, I don't remember which, but that made over £100 million back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more of a windfall.
Iron Man 3 made over £1 billion.
Oh, has it really made that much?
Yeah.
For a film, that's incredible how much... That as a little film that made, this shows you what direction they're going to.
Our housemate Sam was talking today, he has a book, and it's to do with trends of movies and how it basically does critical acclaim. It compares critical acclaim to money that it generates, and there's generally quite a slant towards films that always seem to be quite average, but they always bring in the big money. So there's no point sometimes in investing in these movies that get the big critical acclaim, because they just don't bring in the same amount of money. If you're looking to invest your own money, so say you've got £5, you can invest in something that's classy and get £2 back, or invest in something that's a bit average and get £20. You're going to do it with the one for £20, because you want £20.
My point was their money.
I mean,
that my point was that they were making a lot of money from The King's Speech.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
but you're taking a gamble each time, and I think they have probably found out through experience, taking much more of a gamble in independent movies than you ever would take on these. As you said, you get your money back with these Avengers and these Iron Mans and these Batmans.
Yeah.
Although the Batmans were really good.
The Batmans were good. Apart from the
third one was pretty good, but it's not as good as the second.
Behind the Candelabra.
Yeah.
Is a biopic about Liberace, the very famous entertainer of the
entertainer and pianist.
50s and 60s and 70s. Yeah.
And he was the highest paid entertainer in the world between the 50s and 70s.
Is that a Wikipedia quote? Or is that an independent, verified source that you're getting information from?
I definitely think it's a Wikipedia quote, actually. although I had heard it from another source beforehand as well. So I think
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
So I've heard it from two sources, so if I'm completely wrong, then, you know, my whole way of thinking's wrong. So what's the point in doing this podcast, really? So he was a big deal. So that for those who haven't heard him, he performed in Las Vegas, and he was known for his sort of ultra flamboyant, garish musical scenes where he would drive in on sort of limos and get out of his car on stage and start playing piano, which would raise off the ground and all sorts. And he plays this piano flawlessly with one hand whilst talking to the audience. And he'll do it at different speeds and get the audience involved. And yeah, so he was a very, very impressive performer, to say the least.
Yeah, and gay.
And very, very, very gay. Yes,
I didn't know he was gay until.
Yeah, I mean, Las Vegas was a very conservative attitude and outlook, and the audience they brought in were very conservative as well, and very Christian. And there's basically the theme throughout this movie, which is people see what they want to see. So they saw this big, flamboyant, garish guy, but they never even thought of him as being gay because they enjoyed it too much.
That makes me think of Austin Powers, in the first Austin Powers, where he's spending the night in a hotel in Las Vegas, actually, and he's finding out what happened in the 40 years since he was in comatose. And the first thing that he says was, "Liberace was gay." Didn't see that one coming.
You know, that's really funny, because I didn't want to interrupt you there, but I was listening to the Mark Kermode podcast the other day, and that was the first thing he said when talking about Behind the Candelabra. That's like word for word, almost exactly that's how he said it. So maybe you and Kermode have a thing going on. Or
I haven't actually even seen that.
Surprised. But yeah, you can hear it on here or the Five Live podcast, which is probably far superior.
What that means is we're superior.
Yeah, I think. Not for talent or knowledge or imagination, but
for experience.
But once they're sort of getting retired and stuff, we'll take the mantle. You guys watch out. I'm sure they're listening.
Oh, we're much more hip than them.
Yeah.
I'm a model.
Yeah, and I wear Chelsea boots. So.
Liberace is gay. He had a series of kind of little, far younger boyfriends.
Yeah.
One of whom was Scott Thorson, Matt Damon plays. And Scott Thorson was a guy who knew Liberace for several years, was his lover for several years, and then was dumped.
Yeah,
essentially,
ostracized. When Liberace was done with them, he would bring in a new one. He wouldn't have any alone time. He would have an overlap, so he'd bring in his new one whilst kicking up the old one. And
This film is based on
The book written by Scott
Thorson wrote himself. So it is from his perspective.
Yeah, so I guess a criticism might be the practicing between Liberace, which make him seem maybe slightly psychotic in some circumstances, may not be as accurate as was real. But either way, it's a view into the world of this guy, which is really quite compelling. And the guy who plays Liberace, Michael Douglas, does such a good job.
He's so good, isn't he?
Voice, I mean, if you ever, I mean, we're all obviously born 1990, so we've never actually listened to Liberace live, or, I mean, lots of people won't have listened to him live, but he'd have been around the presence during the 70s and 80s on television, whilst obviously you don't see him much on television these days. But if you watch YouTube videos and get an idea of what this guy Liberace is like, and then you see Michael Douglas doing him, it's insane how good it is.
His voice is so incredibly different from a Michael Douglas voice. It's just incredible what he's done.
And, I mean, the big thing is that I was impressed by him. There's, on the Simon made an interview of Michael Douglas, and it's talking about how he learned to play the piano. Never playing the piano before. He was recovering from cancer, and whilst recovering in recovery, his main aim and motivation was to prepare for this movie, and he just practiced on the piano every day. And watching videos of Liberace, watching the videos of how he moves his hands and how he reacts and interacts with the audience. And he did this song called The Boogie Woogie, and it's fantastic. There's, you know, this point where he's doing it one-handed. Mm. I'm looking at the audience, waving his arm so casually and in flow, and he said, you know, it was done without CGI tricks or a pianist double. I mean, I assume that he probably makes mistakes and they re-record until they get a flowing thing, and it might be several scenes on top of each other, but even still, how convincingly he does it and how well he does it is just boggling, especially if it's never picking up a piano before.
It's dedication, professionalism from the actor, isn't it? I mean, I guess it would have been cathartic for him to do that whilst he was suffering from throat cancer, which he claimed, of course, that he got from cunnilingus.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that one up.
I thought we needed to lower the tone. We were talking about Liberace here.
Yeah. Well, who also died of a sexually transmitted disease. Michael Douglas didn't die, so his life was in jeopardy, but Liberace, for those who didn't know, this might be slightly ruining the ending, but it's, I don't think so, because it's part of history, but Liberace dies from AIDS. And so you've also got throughout the movie the transition from this flamboyant character who then becomes what can be described as a husk of a man. So
yeah, he's seeking the youth, he's seeking to remain young.
Yeah, and that's a big theme throughout this, and it's almost comedic in a way. You've got Rob Lowe, who is hilarious.
Plastic surgeon.
He's the plastic surgeon. You described him as, in your blog,
ersatz.
Ersatz, which I don't actually know what that means.
Yeah, it kind of means a bit strange, I think. I don't know, I just thought it sounded
Ersatz, you pretentious. I was being told that, I was listening to this podcast actually, and they're talking about how Rob Lowe actually had sellotape. They did it the old-fashioned way for the facelift, but put sellotape behind his cheekbones to really stretch his face. It was actually literally like that.
And his eyebrows as well, just like up here. Well,
and you'd see him try and drink something, and you'd have to sort of tilt his head back to make sure the drink was in there. So there was definitely throughout this movie also a fantastic comedic element as well.
Well, Rob Lowe was unrecognisable. It was incredible. It was such a surprise.
I was expecting him, so I knew it was him.
But... Oh, I see. I wasn't expecting him at all. And then it was just his face with this plastic face with this smile that was permanently kind of on his, like a plastic smile, a fake smile that was on his face the entire time, and it was hilarious. His hair was just all perfectly manicured, and not hair out of place, and swept over, and but just, it was his voice, and just his mannerisms as well.
And his skin tone as well, I found. It was like a sort of orangey, sort of, it was constantly tanned sort of look. But and also I find the way Matt Damon puts on and off weight throughout the movie, and I think that's quite comically done, and it's, the emotional entanglement between them is brilliant. So I think in terms of what we're saying is the production companies weren't ready to show it in America on the mainstream, but it wasn't, although it was a gay movie, it wasn't just about gayness, it was about a relationship, and at some points, you know, you forget it's a gay relationship. It wasn't too graphic in any way, shape or form. I mean, I probably would, I'm not saying I'm homophobic, but I wouldn't be that comfortable watching a whole gay sex scene on a movie in a big screen with a group of people.
You're not comfortable with your sexuality.
I'm comfortable with my sexuality. I'm just not sure I'd want to see that. Maybe that's a development. But maybe that's somewhere I've got to develop in. Or maybe it's fair enough to not want to see two men having sex on a big screen. But they deal with it very tastefully. In which you know when they're together, it's very much cut away, and then it's the before and after sex, so it's not It's not awkward.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like any other film. Really. Yeah. Yeah, there isn't. I mean, that doesn't really come into it.
And it's not even important
at all for me.
Yeah, exactly. And halftime, I was forgetting that it was two men in a relationship. I was just thinking the problems that they're having would be problems between anyone who's famous and someone who's not famous, and someone who's used and someone who's not. It really cuts down the barriers of what a gay relationship might appear to be to people from the outside. And I think that's why it's really good. And it shows they're in a relationship. They're normal people. They're just, I guess these aren't two examples of normal people, but they are fundamentally normal people in a relationship. And one thing it deals with quite well is the big hot topic at the moment, gay marriage, in which I don't want to put through any spoilers, but the way it deals with it and the consequences of it and the requirement of it and the damage without it is shown through this movie and is hinted to, which is why I think it's also quite a effective movie. And for a film that was released on television, it was supported by Cannes. It was putting in competition for the, as I don't want to say it wrong, is the Palm?
It's the Palm d'Or.
It's the Palm d'Or. Okay.
Golden Palm.
Yeah, I think it's the Palm d'Or.
Yeah, you're okay.
Right,
yeah.
So it's been considered to be a top-notch movie all throughout Europe, and it's been shown theatrically through Europe.
Yeah, since cinemas here in England.
Yeah, but not in the US.
Is it not at all?
No, so it was released on the television in the US, on HBO.
Oh,
because
it was on HBO.
So, which means Michael Douglas isn't eligible for an Oscar, which I think he'd have probably been up there this year if there's lots of movies still to come out. Yeah, for the coming awards. I think he would have been possibly definitely in competition, but
that is a shame. It's a terrifically written screenplay as well. It's just really effective. The pacing is just it's just perfect, and the amount of time it spends on their relationship and the how they deal together with the outside world and the aesthetic, you know, how they look, it's just all dealt with.
I think one thing I haven't mentioned yet is, and I think it really is a big deal, is how good Matt Damon is, because he's unrecognisable from his other roles. He's a very versatile actor. I think he shows how versatile he is in this.
You've got to really respect the films that he chooses. They were very, very different from each other. I mean, you wouldn't believe that this is the guy who played Jason Bourne.
Yeah, Jason Bourne playing now Scott Thornton in Behind the Candelabra is completely two different people, and that's fantastic acting.
He's very good. He's very good. It's a very strong cast. Yes. Anything else?
No, I think that basically covers it. So I'd highly recommend you watch it if you get the chance.
This is a film we both actually really like, which hasn't been the case for the last few podcasts that we've had.
Yeah. So we are. Yeah, we're agreeing. We're friends. It's all nice and cuddly and bubbly and all that.
It's just a warm film to watch. It's not really challenging.
It doesn't have a happy ending.
It kind of does.
I don't think so.
I mean, it doesn't for one of them.
It doesn't for either of them.
No, I think it does.
Well, I guess
maybe Scott Thorson's got in trouble with the law for the last year or so.
Is that right?
I think he's been incarcerated.
I have no idea. Was it?
I don't remember.
Was it related to? Okay.
It wasn't related to
the movie or
anything to do with that. No.
Okay. It's just he's now in the news because they've made a movie about him. Okay, well, there you go. So, I don't think it sounds like a happy ending at all. But in real life, it really is.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice philosophical message to end on.
Yeah, I mean,
life, it really is.
Yeah, well, it's not a Hollywood
don't
movie,
try,
is it?
Because you'll end up unhappy and alone somewhere.
Yeah, well, you'd always die alone, don't you? So what's the point? Might as well just get an Xbox out and play Halo. Just be Master Chief for the rest of your life. No problem, though.
I think Lewis has had a bad day today.
My lab experiments weren't going very well.
You just seem so down.
Yeah.
How can Liberace get you down? He's such a happy fellow.
Yeah, well, I guess talking about him has improved.
you look worse than when we started.
Okay. Well, I think I've enjoyed this podcast, though, and thank you for listening. And this is our sixth podcast. Yeah, so I can get a little bit of a group of them together now.
Well, do you mean that we've done two in a row?
Yeah, we've done half a dozen.
Oh, right, all together. Yeah, we have.
All right. Brilliant. Okay, thank you.